And of course, as we come to the end of our week at Keswick, the pattern moves into its obvious and final conclusion. We began with the sinfulness of sin in the life of the believer. We saw God's provision for that sin, not only for the guilt, but also for the power. This moved us to a wondrous sense of dedication to the Lord Jesus Christ. And yesterday we took a long, long look at the means whereby that dedication might be fulfilled. Not through our enthusiasm only, thank God for all enthusiasm, not by our enthusiasm only, but through the wondrous inward working of God's Holy Spirit, the Lord Jesus Christ dwelling in our hearts and lives. And today, our one theme is my response, my service to God, because of what He's done for me, and because of my realization of how that service shall be accomplished through the Holy Spirit. We've had occasion this week already to look in the book of Joshua. We began last Sunday looking through the door into Keswick, what God gave to Joshua, the promise and the program and the power. We looked at those sad verses, the story of Gezer, Gath, and Ashdod. And then Dr. Love looked at the great work of Caleb and how he possessed his possessions. Now, once again, I want us to look in the book of Joshua. And I'm turning to the last two chapters of this book. Joshua chapter 3, chapter 23. And it came to pass, a long time after that the Lord had given rest unto Israel from all their enemies round about them, that Joshua waxed old and stricken in age. And Joshua called for all Israel, and for their elders, and for their heads, and for their judges, and for their officers. And he said unto them, I am old and stricken in age, and ye have seen all that the Lord your God hath done unto all the nations because of you. For the Lord your God is he that hath fought for you. Verse 11. Take good heed, therefore, unto yourselves, that ye love the Lord your God. Verse 14. Behold, this day I am going the way of all the earth, and ye know in all your hearts and in all your souls that not one thing hath failed of all the good things which the Lord your God spake concerning you. All are come to pass unto you, and not one thing hath failed thereof. Notice those alls in that verse. It's a wonderful verse. It's worth reading again. Behold, this day I am going the way of all the earth, and ye know in all your hearts and in all your souls that not one thing hath failed of all the good things which the Lord your God spake concerning you. All are come to pass unto you, and not one thing hath failed thereof. And in this portion he's reminding them of the completeness of God towards them. Beginning as slaves in Egypt, their fathers, slaves in Egypt, delivered by the blood of the Lamb, the wilderness journey, and then possessing their possessions, moving into Canaan. And as we've heard already this week, Canaan isn't heaven. Remember, Canaan is Christ. Canaan is Christ. All that God has for me in this world is in Christ. Christ for me on the cross, Christ in me through his risen Holy Spirit. And here were people who had, in a sense, like we have this week, we've seen all that God has done for us. Our deliverance from bondage through the blood of the Lamb. God's wondrous guidance. The fullness that is ours in the Lord Jesus Christ. This is where Joshua brings these people. All the things that God has done for you and for me. And then he moves in chapter 24 again. Joshua gathered all the tribes of Israel to Shechem, and called for the elders of Israel, and for their heads, and for their judges, and for their officers, and they presented themselves before God. And Joshua said unto all the people, Thus saith the Lord God of Israel. Then I want to read just phrases and words from the next verses. Joshua again reminds them of all that God has done. We need to remember this. The fact that you're here this day in Schofield Memorial Church is entirely the grace of God. All that you are, all that you have is the grace of God. We had that this week. God's riches at Christ's expense. Everything you possess that's worth having in this world has come through the mighty hand of God. I look at myself day by day and I say to myself, I am nothing. I have nothing. I'm worth nothing. I deserve nothing. And yet the infinite grace of God has poured out untold blessing on me. Now God has done the same for you. Whatever you possess in this world that's worth having whatever, it's come from God. You haven't earned anything. You haven't deserved anything. You're not worthy of one of the least of God's blessings. Everything God has given to you has been in sovereign grace. And that's what Joshua brings before these people here. So we'll look at one or two verses and notice God is saying, I did. Look at verse 3. I took your father Abram. The end of verse 3. I multiplied his seed. I gave him Isaac. Verse 4. I gave unto Isaac. I gave unto Esau. The end of verse 5. I sent Moses. I plagued Egypt. I did among them. I brought you out. Verse 6. I brought your fathers out. The end of verse 7. Your eyes have seen what I have done in Egypt. Verse 8, I brought you into the land of the Amorites. I gave them into your hand. I destroyed them. Verse 10, I would not hearken unto Balaam. I delivered you out of his hand. The end of verse 11, I delivered them into your hand. Verse 13, and I have given you a land for which ye did not labor, and cities which ye built not, and ye dwell in them. And of the vineyards and oliveyards which ye planted not, do ye eat. All the wonderful, glorious, sovereign grace of God. Then verse 14 says, now therefore. And that's where we are today. Now therefore. That's how I have this privilege of preaching this first message on this last Friday. And this is how we begin. Now, therefore. Have you been counting your blessings? Naming them one by one? Realizing the goodness of God? Praising Him for His holy name? Your heart stirred within you? Good. Now, therefore. Fear the Lord and serve Him in sincerity and in truth. And you'll notice the previous verses have all been, I did this, I, God speaking. Now, from verse 14 on, it's serve. 12 or 13 times the word serve comes. The response to I did is serve, right down the line. Now, therefore, fear the Lord. And serve Him in sincerity and truth. And put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the flood. And in Egypt, and serve ye the Lord. And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom ye will serve. Whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land ye dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And we're going to look together at the following verses. Joshua is bringing these people to make a choice. But notice, it's a choice of service. It's a choice of service. It isn't a way of life. It's a choice of service. He says you can serve three. He gives them a choice of three. Notice that in verse 15. A choice of three, and you have a choice of three. You can serve three. One is the old life. The old life. The second choice is the gods in the land where you are now. In other words, go with the crowd. Go with the crowd. Or thirdly, serve the Lord. Now, I want to go through this section by section, analyze the way in which Joshua dealt with these people, and apply it to our hearts. I want you to notice he begins by drawing these people, challenging these people to make a real choice. That's the first phrase, a real choice. They had to make a real choice. Notice he didn't say go home and think about it. He didn't say go and pray about it. He gave them no time. He said choose you this day. This day. Now that's this day in the Keswick Convention. This day, Friday. Choose you this day whom you will serve. Now remember this, you're going to serve something or someone. No man liveth to himself and no man dieth to himself. You're going to serve someone. And let's be honest, some of you will go back to the old life. It's sad, but that's the proof of history. There are people who come to a Keswick convention. I was one of them several times. I got all steamed up and I went back exactly to square one. I went back to the old life. And there'll be some of you here who will go exactly back to the old kind of life you had. I'm not being cruel. I'm not being unpleasant. I'm being honest. You'll go back to the old life. The other choice he said was, go and join the crowd. Run around with the crowd. Be involved, if you like, in religion. We've been thinking much about this week, and with the pastors' groups especially. We've had some tremendous times with these men of God in our sessions after our midday meal. My heart has been blessed and challenged and saddened. Men realizing they're involved in a machine. And not in a message. And you can go back and be involved in a machine. Run round with a crowd. Get excited. Do all the things they do. Or Joshua said, you can serve the Lord. Serve the Lord. And he brought these people to this real choice. And I want to put you on the spot every time Joshua put these people on the spot. It wouldn't be fair if I didn't. It wouldn't be true if I didn't. The Word of God doesn't come to cover things up. The Word of God comes to expose. Keswick is a spiritual clinic. And much of the preaching of Keswick is surgical. Cutting away so that you can see the situation. Now be honest, some of you will go back to the old life. Some of you will become a unit in a machine. But I believe with all my heart, that some people this week will be different. Not because of Keswick, not because of Larry Love or Harold Wildish or John Hunter, but because God spoke to you. And for the first time in your life, you'll listen. And understood and responded. And you saw yourself for the first time involved with the Lord Jesus Christ. I've used that phrase a lot. It's so much on my heart these days. Being involved with Jesus. Not being enthusiastic. Enthusiasm is good. Involvement is necessary. Now some of you will be involved. Some of you will be pleasantly bored, and you'll say, well, it wasn't as good as the last time. The men were too old. They didn't tell enough funny stories.
I know, because I've thought the same way. But that doesn't worry me 2 cents. I'm interested in one man, one young man, one young woman who meets God. And God takes one person up, and through one person God brings a harvest of millions. That's how God works. Jesus worked through one here and one there and one there and one there. And maybe this fourth Keswick will produce, if it's only one young man or one young woman or one older person, and they see themselves involved in a living way with the Lord Jesus Christ, it'll be worth it. It'll be worth it. You think the Lord Jesus spent 3 years, and at the end, there were 12, and one deserted him. They all ran away. In the eyes of the world, an utter and complete failure. God still works the same way. I press this. A real choice. If you're not going to be involved with Jesus Christ, you aren't involved in the rest of the message. You just sit back and look intelligent, that's all. I mean that. If you don't mean business with God, the rest of the message has nothing to do with you. You're just a spectator. God wants people who are involved. Now notice the response of these people. Verse 16. And the people answered and said, God forbid that we should forsake the Lord to serve other gods. For the Lord our God, he it is that brought us up and our fathers out of the land of Egypt, from the house of bondage and which did those great things in our sight and preserved us all the way wherein we went and among all the people through whom we passed. And the Lord drave out from before us all the people, even the Amorites which dwelt in the land. Therefore will we also serve the Lord, for he is our God. And they were offended, just like maybe some of you might be when I speak direct words. They took offense. How dare you speak to us like this? Of course we're going to serve the Lord. That's why we're here. Why, look what he's done for us. And they repeat what Joshua said. He did this. He brought us out of Egypt. He's brought us safely in this land. He's done all this. Of course we're going to serve the Lord. What do you think we're here for? Why do you think I came to a Keswick convention if I didn't mean to serve the Lord? Of course I mean to serve the Lord. And Joshua wasn't the least bit impressed. He didn't say, oh, excuse me, I didn't realize you were so enthusiastically involved. You know, I made a mistake. Joshua didn't apologize. He looked them straight in the eyes. And having made first, he challenged them to make a real choice. The second thing he did is to challenge them to make a responsible choice. Look at verse 19. And when they've all finished saying their pretty little words, verse 19, Joshua fires back, and Joshua said unto them, you cannot serve the Lord. That isn't being gentle or apologetic, is it? He just looked them, and remember, he's an old man. And this is the last time ever he's going to speak to Israel. They'll never see him again in this capacity. It's his last chance to speak to these people. And remember, Joshua wasn't impressed with Israel. If any man was disillusioned, it would be Joshua. Remember, Joshua had been a slave in Egypt. An old man. It says in verse 29, it came to pass after these things that Joshua, the son of Nun, the servant of the Lord, died, being 110 years old. He was well over the century. And the older people get, experience teaches them how undependable human nature is. And remember, Joshua had gone through the wilderness, every inch of the wilderness. And remember, Joshua had gone through it with Moses. Joshua was Moses' servant. And there must have been many times when Joshua, in the tent with Moses at the end of the day, stood there embarrassed while Moses broke his heart. The meanness, the ingratitude of the children of Israel. Moses, in all his meekness, must have been broken-hearted time and time again. And Joshua, as a young man, must have stood there and watched a great man cry. And feel, in a sense, all these people, how cruel they are. How cruel they are. And then, as we saw last Sunday, the Lord gave the burden to Joshua. Joshua was filled with fear, the thought of taking this mob. But how God commanded him, "Be thou strong, haven't I commanded thee? Be strong and of a good courage, for the Lord thy God is with thee." And Joshua has gone through not only the wilderness with them, but he's gone through Canaan with them. And if any man knew the rottenness of the heart of Israel, Joshua did. They sickened him time and time again. Time and time again with Moses, they came up with pretty phrases and lovely words which meant exactly nothing. And Joshua wasn't impressed. And when Joshua said to these people, "Look, you can make a choice. You can either go back to the old life, or join the crowd in Canaan, or serve the Lord." Joshua knew what he was talking about, because that's exactly what they did. They went back to the old life and they joined the crowd. He wasn't impressed. That's why in verse 19, you get Joshua. You see, what he does is this. He pins them back. He drives them back step by step by step by step. They thought they could get away with it by being enthusiastic and sounding interested. And you know, sometimes we think we can impress God by the prayers that we make. Wonderful prayers full of enthusiasm. We impress ourselves, maybe, but we don't impress God. God knows you through and through. He knows me. He knows the rottenness that's in me. He knows how easy it is for me to fail. He knows the rottenness in you. There's nothing in you to make God love you. God doesn't love you because you're a choice specimen. God loves you because God is love. And because he sent his only begotten son to die for you. God's loving you for Jesus' sake. And in verse 19, Joshua turns to these people. "You cannot serve the Lord, for he is a holy God. He is a jealous God. He will not forgive your transgressions nor your sins. For if ye forsake the Lord and serve strange gods, then he will turn and do you hurt and consume you after that he hath done you good." Joshua was speaking like a prophet here, because all that Joshua said came true. But you see, his immediate challenge was this. The people had rapped back, "Of course we're going to serve the Lord. That's why we're here. He's done this for us. He's done this. Of course we're going to serve the Lord." And Joshua said, "Wait a minute. You're in no fit condition to serve God. God is a holy God." He didn't tell them what they were. He had no need to. They knew what they were. They knew what conditions their hearts were in. Joshua just pointed them to the holiness of God. "The one you're going to serve is first and foremost a holy God." Now, this is a fact. This is a teaching. This is a doctrine or a truth which is slipping out of the church today. We don't hear much preaching on the holiness of God. There's a lot of preaching in the world about a happy God. And some of the youth work I deal with, I shudder sometimes. It's this kind of thing. You know, let's all be happy. Really, oh, good and happy. The happy God we're serving. Well, happiness isn't never connected with God. God is a holy God. He's a God of love, God of mercy, God of forgiveness, but he's a holy God. And can I say this to anyone who wants to respond to now, therefore? If you were, in a sense, one of these people who, when you had the real choice, you said, well, of course I'm going to serve the Lord. That's why I'm here. I want to pin you down where Joshua said, listen, this is a responsible choice. You don't take this lightheartedly. You don't just say, oh, count me in. You go and stand in Isaiah 6 alongside Isaiah. And do what Isaiah did. He looked at the holiness of God. And there was nothing wrong with Isaiah. He was a wonderful man, a wonderful young fellow. If you're a mother, you'd have loved him for a son. A tremendous character. But when he looked at the holiness of God, he just crumpled up. And I'm a man of unclean lips. And I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. Mine eyes have seen the Lord of hosts. Isaiah saw the holiness of God. And seeing the holiness of God, he just counted himself out. So Joshua comes to these people and points them to a holy God. Look at the people's response in verse 21. And the people said unto Joshua, nay, but we will serve the Lord. Just compare the wonderful words they said in verse 16, 17, 18. All the flowery words, all the enthusiastic response. Of course we're going to serve the Lord. He's done this for us and this and this and this and this. And how dare you speak to us like this? Fancy thinking out of us. And then in verse 21, when Joshua's hit them between the eyes on the holiness of God, they've got nothing else to say except this. We will serve the Lord. This is a responsible choice. God doesn't want your big words. God wants your broken will. These people had big words in 16, 17, 18. And now all they say is, nay, we will serve the Lord. Such a change of attitude. And you know, this is necessary in our hearts. Oh, I have to press this time and time again with high school and college kids. They're fired up with enthusiasm and love for God, and thank God they are, and you couldn't do anything without it. But they have to be brought face to face with the fact that, listen, you're going to serve a holy God. And if you want to proceed with service, that's quite okay, but no one's going to force you. Nobody forced the children of Israel. Nobody's going to force you to serve God. You don't have to. You don't have to respond at the end of this day and say, Heavenly Father, I mean business. Lord, take me. You don't have to say that. But you do have to be honest. And so he faced them up with a responsible choice. And they said, nay, but we will serve the Lord. And notice how Joshua goes on. He drives them back and back and back. Verse 22. Joshua said unto the people, ye are witnesses against yourselves. Against yourselves. That ye have chosen you the Lord to serve him. And they said, we are witnesses. Notice this. They were not witnesses for the Lord. They were witnesses against themselves. You can't be a witness for the Lord until you've been a witness against yourself. That's a truth many of us miss. You can't go out and be a witness for the Lord until you've been a witness against yourself, that I am unworthy, that I am nothing, that I have nothing, and that but for the sovereign grace of God, I wouldn't be here, and God is a holy God, and I'm yielded to a holy God, and I want a relationship with a holy God. That's being a witness against yourself. Before you put God in his place, you put yourself in your place. And many of us are clever in putting other people in their places. That doesn't come into any part of the Christian ministry, putting people in their place. It begins with putting yourself in your place, then putting Jesus Christ in his place. That's it. So we go on. And the end of verse 22, and they said, we are witnesses. Now you thought, well, Joshua, you've proved your point. You've hit them between the eyes. You've really shaken them. You've shown them God is a holy God. And these people have honestly said to you that we're going out to serve a holy God. Aren't you satisfied, Joshua? Doesn't that satisfy you when these people recognize the holiness of God? And they've been witnesses against themselves. Aren't you satisfied, Joshua? And Joshua would say, listen, I know these people. You can't trust them an inch. You can't trust them an inch. Look at verse 23. Joshua drives them back another space. Now he makes them make a repentant choice. First it was a real choice between the three, then a responsible choice before a holy God, and now he drives them back to a repentant choice. Verse 23, now therefore, put away, said he, the strange gods which are among you, and incline your heart unto the Lord God of Israel. And the people said unto Joshua, the Lord our God will we serve, and his voice will we obey. Joshua was a great believer that actions speak louder than words. He'd learned that through years of experience with these people. They'd recognize that they were going to serve a holy God. Then what Joshua says is good. Let's see the color of your money. Let's see something. Let's see some repentance. Let's see some repentance before we start about service. And you know, that's absolutely true today. There could be those of us here this morning, and we have, as it were, been with these people so far. And we've seen that it's a holy God. And we're prepared with a great gulp to say, well, Heavenly Father, I still want to serve you on the relationship that you're a holy God and that I'm a sinner saved by grace. Lord, I'm prepared for that. Lord, I'm going to serve you on those conditions. And your little heart swells with pride. And you feel all so good. Oh, look what I've done. I've said I'm going to serve the Lord, a holy God. And I'm really meaning it. And then God said, all right. Let's see some repentance in your life. You've witnessed against yourself. Now repent against yourself. It's repentance towards God and repentance against yourself. Repent against yourself. You've witnessed against yourself. And this could be the one thing standing between you and serving God. There may be some of you here who are older in years now, and maybe for years you've wanted to count for God and serve God. And this, I'm speaking now from experience of other people I've counseled with. Through the years there could have been one thing that's been between you and God. And this darling of your heart, you've kept it all the way through. And everything else has been wonderful except this. Almost like your little Achan, your Gath and your Ashdod, your Gezer and your Gath and your Ashdod, your little something. And God said, before we talk about service, let's talk about repentance. Are you interested? Or do you say, well, this thing's getting too personal? I don't mind coming to messages, but when it gets personal, you can count me out. Now, you wouldn't say those words, but people think that way. That's the way I used to think. Is hitting below the belt. Is getting too near to me. It's beginning to hurt. Stop it. It's beginning to hurt. You may have a lust, a fear, a temptation. I wouldn't know what it is. But oh, this means so much to you. You know, it means so much to you that you choose to have this this miserable, miserable little thing in your life than all the outworking power of God. And you'll have said to yourself, like I've said to myself in times past, how on earth can I, knowing all the love of God and all the wonder that God wants to do through me, how can I hang on to this wretched little thing and block the power of God? And there could be a man or a woman here, and there's some miserable little wretched thing, and if you brought it out and put it before God, you'd be ashamed of it. And yet this little miserable thing is blocking your service for God. You've got all the enthusiasm, all the devotion, all the intention. You recognize the holiness of God. You recognize your own need. But when it comes to a repentant choice, like the rich young ruler, you get off your knees and you walk away. He went away because his riches came between him and Christ. You can walk away because your wretchedness comes between you and Christ. Your lust, and your sin, and your failure. Do you realize this? Verse 24. And the people said unto Joshua, the Lord our God will we serve, and his voice will we obey. And for the first time in their conversation, the word obey comes in. I think Joshua was driving these people back and back and back and back until he heard the word obey. God can do nothing with you unless you're obedient. Now that isn't difficult. It's just the same. If you're driving a car, an automobile here, that car's no good to you except when you turn the wheel, it goes that way. When you turn that way, it goes that way. Just suppose you had a car and you turned the wheel this way and it went that way. And then sometimes you turned it this way and it went that way. And then sometimes you turn it that way and it went this way. But sometimes when you turn this way, it did go that way. You trade it in. The one thing you want from your car is obedience. Now thank God he doesn't trade us in. Thank God he doesn't trade us in. But you can trade yourself in. You can trade yourself in. That's what Paul did. I'm crucified with Christ. I live, yet not I, but Christ is in control. Nothing happened in my life until I traded myself in. As a disobedient, unreliable model. Now, you'd think that Joshua would say, well, I've made it. I've driven them from, I've made them make a responsible choice, a real choice, then I made them make a responsible choice, and I've even got them to say that they'll repent, I've even got them to say that they'll obey. You would say, well, Joshua, you proved your point. You've nailed them down, you've nailed them down, you've got the word obey out of them. Aren't you satisfied now? And he'd say, don't you? No. I know these people. I know these people. He wasn't satisfied. You say, but look, I promised to repent. Joshua wasn't satisfied. I like this almost touch of humor in the thought of Joshua doing this. Verse 25. So Joshua made a covenant with the people that day and set them a statute and an ordinance in Shechem. And Joshua wrote these words in the book of the law of God and took a great stone and set it up there under an oak that was by the sanctuary of the Lord. And Joshua said unto all the people, behold, this stone shall be a witness unto us. For it hath heard all the words of the Lord which he spake unto us. It shall be therefore a witness unto you, lest ye deny your God. So Joshua let the people depart, every man to his own inheritance. Joshua did one more thing. He began with a real choice, a responsible choice, a repentant choice, and then, believe it or not, he made a recorded choice. He wrote it down. They'd spoken these words, yes, they'd said all these words. That wasn't good enough for Joshua. Joshua said, wait a minute. And Joshua wrote all the words down. All the things the people had promised, he wrote it all down in a book. Then he put a big stone up. He said, now this stone is a witness against us, against me and against you. This stone here is to prove that this day I said this to you, and you said this to me. And listen, it's in this book. It's a recorded choice. You can never say, well, of course, I didn't exactly say that. Oh, yes, you did, said Joshua. This is recorded here. Can I say this? And I mean this. This may seem childish to some of you. But I know many of God's people, and when God speaks to them, and they recognize God speaking, and they do business with God, and maybe on a day like this, they really face up to the now therefore, they take a pen. And in the book, and by the verse, they write one or two words, putting a date. This day, January the 20th, 1967, my choice. I don't say you have to do it. I'm sure it doesn't do you any spiritual advantage. But psychologically, and it pleases my soul, I do that sometimes. When I feel God has spoken to me, I just write alongside the verse and I put the date. Then when I read through my Bible, I see a date and I look and I say to myself, that's true. I did. God did. And thank you, Heavenly Father, by your grace, everything you promised has come true. And thank you, Lord, for indwelling me and enabling me to do that which I promised to do that day. I'm not suggesting you have to, but I'm suggesting this. It might be a blessing to some of you if, as this day goes on, God continues to speak to you in the now therefore, and you start thinking about yourself in relation to service, whether it's going on the mission field or whether it's praying or whether it's witnessing or ordinary living, whatever it may be, God is speaking to you. It'll come the same way. Whoever speaks, it'll come in the same way. It'll be a responsible choice to a holy God. It'll be a repentant choice where you witness against yourself. It would be a help if you wrote something down. In humble sincerity, this represents here and now the utter devotion and purpose of my heart. Dear God, this is me meaning this now. And just as Joshua did, dear Lord, so do I. And this is a witness for me. Let us bow in prayer. Our God and our Father, we thank Thee for the tremendous privilege of being called to serve the living God. But help us, as we have been seeing this morning, this isn't something we rush into with blind, enthusiastic devotion. We thank Thee, our God, for every sense of love there is towards Thee in our hearts. We pray that we may look at this thing in the cold light of reality, that we may make a real choice and a responsible choice before a holy God. And, O Father, may this choice begin even this day with repentance. Dear Lord, may there be letters read, letters written of apology and acknowledgement. May deeds be done in reparation. May words be spoken. May hearts be broken. May there be repentance. so that having witnessed against ourselves, we can step out in thy good and gracious hand, yielding our lives to thee, dear Lord, cleansed by thy precious blood, empowered by thine indwelling Holy Spirit, we can step out and serve thee. And this we ask for thy dear name's sake. Amen.